Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues of men and women who have been incarcerated, their friends and families. And we've got a great show for you today because on the program is Dr. Carolyn Edwards. Dr. Edwards has excellent advice for people that are getting out of prison and are reintegrating into society. You don't want to miss this program, and we're going to get back with it right after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Got some great shows coming up to finish out the month of January. We have authors Donna Headley. We have author Jay Forty will be here as well. And to finish up the month, we'll have Jim Pomponi. You're not going to want to miss that one. The dude is friends with Sylvester Stallone. He's got some really cool stories. We'll be right back with our interview with Dr. Carolyn Edwards right after this. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. I have on the phone with me Dr. Carolyn Edwards. She's a graduate of Howard University. She holds a master's degree and a PhD in management. She's a career and life coach. She's an author, and her mission is to help people live purposeful lives. Carolyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Listen, I noticed on your website that you speak a lot about goal setting, and I really like that. Dr. Edwards, what areas of our life should we be setting goals in? What are the areas in which we should do that?
Well, you should set goals in almost every area that you want to achieve something. I always try to set goals in the major areas of my life, such as family, church or spirituality, finance, education, exercise, health and wellness. So you can set goals in every aspect of your life, even romance, love, relationships.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about doing that then? I mean, do you sit down with a piece of paper and write things down? Is it something that you keep in the back of your mind? How exactly do you go about the goal setting?
How I do it is I set up major groups, the major areas of your life. Mm-hmm. Family, health, finances, career, things like that. And I may set 2 to 5 goals in each section. And how I go about assessing my goals. Sometimes you may have to go back and look at your goals and see if they make sense, and you may have to revise them. So on my desk, I have like a list of things that I want to accomplish each year. I may look at that once a week. However, to make sure that you are achieving those goals, I put action steps under each week that I want to achieve to help me propel me forward to achieve my yearly goal. In addition to that, I suggest that all my clients, my students, peers, make up a mission statement for the year, for your life, and that helps you to stay on track as well as keep you focused. So when some of the activities may not fit in with that mission statement or vision statement for your life, then you know, well, maybe I shouldn't devote as much time to those specific areas. Maybe I can minimize time in the areas that are not going to help me to achieve the goals I would like to in my life.
Mm-hmm. What about expectation levels? Is the sky the limit when we write our goals? Should we think about reasonable expectations? What would you say about that?
I have two ways to think about the goals. I would say dream big, because you never know what you can accomplish unless you put your mind to it. However, in the dreaming big, when you start thinking about the action steps, you want to ensure that your goals are realistic. And it's something that you can achieve, because you don't want to overwhelm yourself. Say, for example, a lot of people want to lose weight in the new year. So you may say, overall, I would like to lose 50 pounds. However, I don't want to put 50 pounds as my goal for the week, because that's very unrealistic. That can stress you out.
Well, one of the things you address as a life coach, and I want to kind of switch gears here a little bit, is job search. And given the audience that we have here, Dr. Edwards, I'm just curious what kinds of advice that you have for us in our job search. You know, it's difficult for us. And how would goal writing play into that?
So you should start with positive mindset, first of all. And know that it's not impossible. It may be a little more difficult, but it's not impossible. So if you begin with that mindset, that no, it is some type of career, some type of job that you can do. So if you start from that initial thought, you know, that helps propel you first and being positive. Secondly, I would say to use all the available resources. When we talked about doing an interview, I just got on the internet and I did a basic Google search, such as programs for ex-offenders or programs for the jobless, programs for the unemployed, things like that. So I found some government programs, I found some church programs, I found some library programs that will help you in the job search area. Some of the programs offer free computer classes. Some offer free job search assistance. And then some offer like one-on-one job counseling. So I would say, first, be positive. Second, if you don't have the money, don't think that you have to go pay somebody to help you look for a job. You can use the available resources on the internet to find information. If you don't have a computer, the local library has free computers that are free access to the internet, and you can start there. Secondly, your local librarian also has a wealth of information that could tell you the different offerings that are in the library, such as the Career Search Handbook. Any other publications that you can find, they can also tell you about job websites and things like that. So I would suggest that you start there. Start with the free resources. Do your internet search. Get on Google. Get on Yahoo. Talk to your librarian. look for a free government program, church-related program, and many times you don't even have to attend the church, but they're just offering that service for those that are in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I would start there.
Excellent advice. Okay, now we're going to hit you with what we call here on the show the question. Okay, you ready? You need to brace yourself now. But whenever we have somebody on and we're talking about job search, we always ask them about addressing the time gap for someone who's been incarcerated on the resume and in the interview. We call that the question because there doesn't seem to be a right or wrong answer to it. We're just curious, what is your advice on that?
What I would suggest is that you be honest. I think if nothing else, people appreciate that. Now, I'm not necessarily saying put, let's say if you have a time gap of a year to put Miami jail or something like that. However, you could put the time and you could put we can discuss or whatever you would like to call it. You can call it, I don't want to say it's retraining or, but I would still put the time frame there, and you have to call it retraining for life or, but I definitely wouldn't call it incarceration. I would call it, you know, additional health time or additional training time, and then you can also put, we can discuss, you know, as needed. So I suggest you call it life skills, life training, rehabilitation, and then focus on what you learn as a result. So accent the positive.
Mm-hmm. Excellent advice.
You've
been initiated on the show now with the impossible question. Okay.
Well, I say accent the positive, and I have a nephew that's in this very situation. That was incarcerated for whatever reason. He did not want to take the opportunities that were given to him, and he had to learn the lessons his own way. So now he's in this specific situation where he has a time gap. You know, he was actually a college student, and he was incarcerated during the time that he was in college, so now he has that gap. And so that's the advice that I give him also, is to, you know, not lie about it, to tell the truth, but to let the person know I did learn something as a result of that situation.
Mm-hmm. As a life coach, I know that that you address the issue of self-esteem, and I've kind of got a two-part question for you here. The first one being, what role does the way we feel about ourselves, what role does that play in our life's successes? And then the second part would be, Dr. Edwards, what kinds of things can people listening to the show do to feel better about themselves when they're constantly getting the door shoved in their face or getting the thumbs down? What advice would you have for us along those lines?
Well, first of all, I think self-esteem plays a major role in our life success, as well as the choices that we make, because even though we may get a lot of love and a lot of opportunities, and someone on the outside looking in will say that you have everything, if you don't feel good about yourself, you may not make the best choices to lead you in the direction for which you would like to go or live your life. So in saying that, my second part of the question is, how do you feel better about yourself? How do you understand that you are a great person, a great being, that the world is better for having you in it, that the outside factors for which you surround yourself with have a lot to do with your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
As adults, we can't pick and choose our family. They are who they are. I know some people have bad upbringings, didn't know their father, didn't know their mom, maybe have been brought up in the foster system, didn't feel loved. However, as adults, we have the opportunity to make better choices. So what I suggest is surround yourself with people doing positive things. Surround yourself with people that are going places that you want to go. Surround yourself with people that are doing things for which you inspire. Try to find a mentor. I know that you will be faced with rejection. I even face rejection, so it's no perfect life. I mean, you know, when I'm trying to sell my books or right. I'm trying to talk to my students, I still face rejection, but it's how we progress through the rejection. So I say surround yourself with people that can help talk to you and push you in the direction you want to go. Mm-hmm. Read and supply your mind with positive thoughts and words and books. There are quite a few celebrities, authors, famous people that have been incarcerated but have still lived great lives, like Nelson Mandela or Judge Mathis. I'll use Judge Mathis because he's on TV every day. Right. And he'll say it took me 15 years from incarceration to become a judge. So he also has books. He also has centers that try to help those that have been incarcerated. I suggest also doing some of the exercises that we talked about with the goal setting and try to find an accountability partner, somebody that you can talk to about these positive things. You know, I think someone once said, the road less traveled sometimes right. is lonely,
right.
but, you know, it's worth it.
What about spirituality? What would be your views on that and incorporating that into our goal setting?
Well, I believe I'm a Christian, so I believe that, you know, God is with us at all times. And when we make the choices that get us in situations that are not very beneficial for us, I still believe that we have an opportunity to change our lives around and do good and be successful. And that's why I say sometimes when people have a low self-esteem or they may not necessarily have somebody that supports them, if you believe in a higher power, a higher being, which for me is God, that there is always somebody, someone more powerful than ourselves that loves us. And if we can just lean on that love, sometimes when we are at our worst, if we can just lean on that love, I think that will take us through our situation. And again, not that I think I know, it would take us through our situation to a better point in our lives, but we just have to trust it. That it is there and that it will be there for us, that we are here for a reason, and that we're not disposable. Everyone in this world, in our lifetime, on this earth, is here for a reason. And if we can just trust and believe in that, I think we all can do great things.
Dr. Carolyn Edwards, you've written a couple of children's books, one called I Can Be, and another one called Fun with Money. And I saw where you have another book coming out soon that has kind of a unique premise to it. Why don't you tell us about your new book coming out?
Well, I'm working on a new book that basically uses the same tools everyone lately in our capitalistic society. Many people want to be millionaires. I see a lot of these reality show people that may not have any acting skills or may have not gone to acting school, things like that, been formally educated or trained, become millionaires. So many people want to become millionaires. So the new book that I'm writing takes a lot of the same management principles and apply them to everyday life. For example, when we talked about the mission and the vision and the goals, entrepreneurs have a mission and a vision for the business. When activities come up that may not be in line with that mission and vision, they either don't deal with it, they minimize their energy on it,
Right.
Or they bypass it altogether. The mission and the vision help keep them focused on where they're trying to go. The mission and vision also is the groundwork or the framework for the goals for the organization. Every goal, every activity of the organization should line up with the mission and the vision for the organization. When they don't line up, that means that the CEO, the entrepreneur, has to go back and reevaluate what the goals are. So it's just a framework for keeping you on track. Some other items that entrepreneurs use is that they hang around other people that are going places and doing things. If they want to be successful, they want to be a millionaire, they want to sell out all their products or just be great, they hang around with other great people. They listen to some of their advice and they take that as a marching order that, hey, this person is successful. This person is a millionaire, so I'm going to take this advice and go in that direction. Mm-hmm. So if we can use some of these same tools, we can also be successful in our lives, have a mission and a vision, be clear on what we want to accomplish, and hopefully that will prevent us from, you know, making some of the bad choices that get us in situations that we don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I developed the children's book first is because I found a need that with the incarceration, recidivism, things like that, it's starting at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And kids that may not have the proper foundation, they still need positive books and positive images and people to tell them you can be great, you can do great things, and you can be things that you want to be and do things that you want to do, and you could dream about those things and you can make it happen. Not everybody is a LeBron James or Michael Jordan or a Tiger mm-hmm. Woods, so you have to dream big and do the things that you want to do. We don't have to be carbon copies of anybody else. We can be great in our own right. So if we can do that at a young age with our children, hopefully as they mature, they will already have some of the skills needed to do great things. And the Fun with Money one was written because many other adults have so many problems with their finances. A lot of people are in debt, they're losing homes. Down here in Florida, we hear almost weekly about someone that killed their spouse or harmed their children or harmed themselves due to finances and the choices that they made financially, or they may have lost a job and things like that. And so the Fun with Money book is trying to teach children at an early age about being responsible with money. It's not all about spending mm-hmm. and getting money to get things. You also need to share and help others and save money and things like that. So if they can get those concepts early, again, trying to teach life lessons early on so that as they mature, they will have the foundation to help them make better choices.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Carolyn Edwards, I'm very impressed with you, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show. But before I let you go, why don't you tell us how people can get in touch with you?
Great. It has truly been my pleasure. You can find out more about me and the book at www.drcarolynedwards.com, and I'll spell it as www.drcarolynedwards.com.
Great. And I want to encourage everybody to follow that link and see what Carolyn has out there. Excellent, excellent information. We're going to be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
Anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone home? Come on, come on down. Give
Hey, y'all, keep the mail coming. We enjoy getting it, and I promise you that if you write me, I'll write you right back. Let me know how you're doing. Don't need to know your last name or what you did to get in prison. I'd just like to hear how you're doing, and I'll let you know how I'm doing too, okay? Drop me a line.
Se muera y que mi padre me recuerde.
A Dios le pido
que te quedes a mi lado y que más nunca te me vayas, mi vida.
A Dios le pido
que mi alma no descanse cuando de amar.
Well, that is all the time we have. I want to thank my special guest, Dr. Carolyn Edwards. I want to encourage you to follow the links and see the information that she has out there for ex-offenders. It's absolutely wonderful. And I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.